Thank you very much. And do we have a status on the live audio in terms of how long that will take?
Chuck, it's Liz, and I'm so sorry, but I would not hold the call up for it, and I apologize. I know it's hard even for us to reach the people who may be trying to access it, and I just don't have a good answer right now, other than I've contacted the senior people in IT, and they are working on it.
Okay, thank you very much, and I'll, they can't hear me right now, but I'll apologize for those who are trying to listen.
Yeah, I extend my sincere apologies.
So those of you that who are getting email messages, if you could let them know they're working on it, and we're sorry about that. Glenn, would you please do a roll call?
Certainly, I will, Chuck. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. On the call, we have Chuck Gomes, Caroline Greer, Edmund Chun is not on the call. Adrian Kendra is absent, has sent his apologies. Tim Ruiz, Stefan van Gelder, Terry Davis is absent and has sent his apologies. Zaid Jamil, we are trying to call out to him, but he is not answering his phone. Mike Rodenbach is absent. I have not heard anything from him. Christina Rosette.
Oh, sorry, Lynn, he's on his way.
Thank you very much. Christina Rosette.
Present.
David Taylor.
Present.
Wolf Ulrich Knoben. He should be joining a bit later. Jamie Wagner.
Present.
Rafik Damek. William Drake. Debbie Hughes.
Yep.
Wendy Seltzer. Rosemary Sinclair sends her apologies. She can't be on the call. Mary Wong.
I'm here again.
And thank you. Olga Cavelli.
Present.
Andrei Kolesnikov. I don't think he's on yet. Alan Greenberg. Han Chuan Lee is on the call. And for staff, we have Ken Bauer, David Olive, Julie Hedlund, Rob Hogarth, Liz Gaster, and we have Christina Nordstrom, who is helping from the CCNSO, who is helping us with the Adobe Connect today in Marika's absence, and apologies from Marika and Margie, who are on holiday. Have I missed anyone? Thank you, Chuck. Over to you.
Thank you, Glenn. Does anyone have an updated statement of interest? Seeing no hands and hearing no one, we'll go on to the agenda. And Christina sent a message that most of you probably saw suggesting that we add under other business discussion about the council meeting dates for November and December. So I have added that on my own copy of the agenda here, and we will briefly discuss that. And Glenn's already working on some dates in that regard. Any other changes to the agenda? Okay. Note that the minutes of our meeting on the 15th of July were automatically approved on the 28th of July. Glenn will be posting those later today. Going on to item 2 of the agenda, the GNSO improvement recommendations. We have a motion on the table there that you can refer to, and I would like to ask Olga to read the resolution part of the motion, please.
Yes, Chuck. Hold on a second, that I have to find that part. Apologies. The last part, resolve further.
Yes. The first, starting with the first reason. Now be it therefore.
Okay. Now be it therefore resolved that the GNSO Council approves the following set of 5 G-code deliverables without further modification. Section 2.1, council member term limits, there's a link. Section 2.4, board seat elections, there's a link. Section 3.8, absences and vacancies, there's a link. Chapter 4, voting. Chapter 5, statements and disclosures of interest. Note that two sections, 532 and 533, are not approved pending further staff action to be determined. These sections are footnoted in the document as inactive until subsequently approved by the OSC and Council. Resolved further that staff has incorporated the above sections and chapters into a new version of the GNSO Operating Procedures, GOP, there's a link, which becomes effective immediately upon adoption. Resolved further that the GNSO Council approved the following CSGWT deliverable link, which is organized in two sections as follows. Sections 2.1 and 2.2, recommended common operating principles and participation guidelines for GNSO stakeholder groups and constituencies, which staff has incorporated into a new chapter 7.0 in the above referenced GNSO operating procedures, and section 2.3, recommendations on a GNSO database of community members. Resolved further that the GNSO Council directs staff to provide sections 2.1 and 2.2 above to GNSO stakeholder groups and constituencies for use in amending their charters as appropriate. And resolved further that the GNSO Council hereby expresses its gratitude and appreciation to the GCOT and CSG work teams for their dedication, commitment, and thoughtful recommendations.
Thank you, Olga. Is there any discussion on this motion?
Christina has her hand raised. It's Liz.
Yeah, I can barely read the names in Adobe Connect. Christina, go ahead, please.
Sure. I just have a couple questions relating to the sections that have not yet been approved. I guess the first would be for staff, what's the ETA on those? Second, and I'm not really quite sure who should answer this question, but it's my understanding then that the current provisions, to the extent that they exist, regarding statements and disclosures of interest apply unless and until those two sections are finalized and approved. And I just want to make sure that my understanding on that is correct.
Can someone from staff respond to that, those questions?
Hi, Julie. Yeah, this is Julie. Certainly, Christina, thank you very much. We are working with legal staff to address the issue raised with respect to the list of parties with which ICANN has contractual arrangements that relates to the sections of the statement of interest document that are not approved and not included. I don't have an exact ETA on that, but Liz and I actually would very much like to speak to you concerning those sections and how we can move forward quickly to resolve that issue. With respect to the procedures, my understanding is, and others can correct me if I'm wrong, but in the absence of procedures relating to statements of interest, I would assume that the current procedures and process would continue in place until there are new procedures to replace that.
Yeah, I think that's accurate on the with regard to those particular issues. Does that answer your questions, Christina?
Yeah, to a great extent. I'm just concerned about the ability of folks who need to actually exercise the options provided with regard to abstentions, to the extent that those provisions are currently tied to the statements of disclosures of interest. So I just want to make absolutely sure that we are, if we are in fact making a decision to go ahead and vote on incomplete document, as far as I'm concerned, that we're doing, that no one will later be told that they can't utilize the provisions under Section 4.5 because the disclosure and statement of interest provisions are not yet finalized. And if we're all in agreement in that, then that's fine.
Yeah, I think we are. Julie, I would also like to ask that as soon as possible that an ETA for the completion of the work on that be given to the council.
Absolutely, Chuck. So nice.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Seeing no hands up and hearing no one, then let's go ahead and take a vote on this. Does anyone object to a voice vote on this item? Okay. Then we will do a voice vote. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
If anybody opposes, would you identify yourself? Okay, any abstentions, please identify yourself. Then the motion passes unanimously. Thank you. There's some action items that follow this now. Ken Bauer has agreed to create a little cheat sheet for the new voting procedures. Some of you may have discovered that they're a little bit involved. And so to make it a little simpler, Ken will be preparing what I've called a cheat sheet in that regard, just a brief summary that outlines what needs to happen. Of course, all of you are always encouraged to go back to the full procedures, but hopefully that will help all of us in using the procedures going forward. Glenn will be distributing the new sections and the procedures to constituencies and stakeholder groups, so that they have those newly just approved procedures. And then Rob is responsible with the team of distributing a package of materials for stakeholder groups and constituencies regarding the charters, because all of us probably will have some things to consider with the just approved recommendations. Any questions on that? Okay, going on to item 3 in the agenda, the Who Is studies. There are 4 links there that hopefully all of you have access to as you need them, and I think you're familiar with all of those documents already. I made the decision with staff guidance to put Tim's motion ahead of Mike's motion, mainly because if Tim's motion passes, then we wouldn't go on to the motion to proceed with study number 1. Are there any objections to that decision in terms of the order of motions? Seeing none. We then come to Tim's motion, and Tim, I'd like you, if you would please, to read your motion.
Okay. Get it up here. So you want me to read the entire motion then?
It's your choice, Tim, whichever you prefer.
Okay.
If you want to just read the result, that's okay, but if you think it's better to read the whereas, I'm fine with that.
Okay. Yeah, they're not quite as lengthy as usual, so I'll go ahead and read those. On 23rd March 2010, staff presented its latest report on feasibility and cost estimates for Who Is studies, and there's a link to that. Requested by council on 4th of March 2009, see motion 3 and a link. This report included a staff analysis for 2 of the 4 study areas, Who Is Misuse and Who Is Registrant Identification. A full staff analysis of the feasibility and cost of the 3rd and 4th study areas, Who Is Privacy and Proxy Abuse and Reveal, is still outstanding. According to the above report, the estimated cost of the first studies is significant, approximately $300,000, and likely significantly more once the outstanding analysis is completed. While ICANN has allocated some budget for Who Is studies, the sum is likely insufficient to fund all proposed studies at this time. Considering such costs, the time to complete each study, and other resources involved, council will be better able to make a fully informed decision as to which, if any, studies to pursue once the staff analysis of all four study areas is complete and delivered to council. Resolved, council thanks staff for its work so far in producing the requested analysis of these studies and requests staff to complete its analysis as soon as practical. Council shall defer votes on any WHOIS studies until all are ready for simultaneous consideration and prioritization when responses to RFPs for all four studies have been received and analyzed.
Thank you, Tim. I'll open it up now for discussion.
Mike Rodenbaugh.
Yeah, and I see... thanks, Mike. Just a second. I see some hands up. I think, you'll have to apologize to me for my inability to read the names very well, but I think it's Christina first.
I'll let Mike go first.
Okay, Mike, go ahead.
All right. Sorry, I forgot to put my hand up. But, I mean, you know, I would just briefly say in response, you know, obviously the WHOIS debate's been going on, I think, nearly a decade now. This process alone to identify studies and move them forward, I believe, is going in over 2 years now. You know, it's obviously the object of a lot of ridicule in the community, but more importantly, a lot of concern in the community that this process move forward to address the WHOIS issues. So, you know, waiting and waiting and waiting is just really not a viable option for most of the community. We need to move forward with something. This is a very good study. It's been scoped out. A lot of hard work has been done. Let's move forward with something rather than nothing.
Thank you, Mike. Jamie.
Well, I think Christina is ahead of me.
Okay, go ahead, Jamie.
I would like to remember that many governments are seeing our work, or waiting for our work on WHOIS, accuracy and misuse, and the point that as though as privacy issues are concerned from the point of view of users, there is also a strong concern and an increasing concern on the issues of security and the public trust of the Internet, and not only of the Internet, the public trust of ICANN, that it is indeed is this big multi-stakeholder model is working and moves ahead and is not anything that doesn't come to a point. And I think those WHOIS studies are a point of where our image is at stake. And if we defer and we don't proceed when we can, this would impact negatively our image in the community. And I would say overall community.
Thank you, Jamie. Christina, my apologies for
Chuck,
not coming back to you. It's your turn.
Chuck, can you just put me in the queue? Stefan, please, I don't have internet access, so I can't raise my hand.
I have you in there, Stefan.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. I just wanted to confirm my understanding, and it's my recollection from when I believe I asked during our Brussels meeting, that at this point there's the staff expectation that the fourth and final RFP, that the analysis of that is definitively expected to be completed by the end of November. And also my notes are not, so I guess the first is confirmation of that from staff. And second, my notes are not entirely clear on the expected duration of the prioritization process that's referenced. And frankly, I'm not at all clear that we've decided on one, so I just wanted to get clarification of that. I'm not really quite sure who can answer that.
Now, I'll ask Liz to respond on the timing of Study 4, but Christina, a clarification question. What are you referring to? Referring to the prioritization process for all of the GNSO projects?
No, absolutely not. It's just that given that the resolution refers to deferring vote until all who is studies are ready for simultaneous consideration and prioritization. I read that to mean that there had been some discussion about how that process would take place, and I didn't have anything in my notes that was clear on that, so I wanted to get clarification of that.
Sure. Well, and Tim, as soon as Liz responds, I'll let you respond to that question since you're the author of the motion. Liz?
So with regard to the REVEAL study and whether I can say definitively that it'll completely be done and my advice to the council will be ready by the end of November, that is completely my intent, but there are a couple things that are kind of outside my control. I haven't fully gone through an internal review, and there are some things I need to adjust for that purpose. And so I don't know how long that'll take, although I think it'll be brief. And I don't know how long the council's review will be, because as soon as I get it ready for your review, I want to give you all a couple of weeks to look at the study. And this is the most complex study, the hardest one. We saved it for last. And so it would be my hope that you could give us your comments within a couple of weeks and that we could integrate them and have them ready. And it's my expectation I can meet that deadline. But there are variables that I can't definitively say for sure that I can meet that deadline.
All right. Thank you, Liz.
Sure.
Thanks, Liz. Tim, would you respond to the prioritization question if you can? Tim?
Yes, sir. I was muted. So my place in the queue will be maintained for comments,
yeah.
Or you want me to just okay? You know, I don't think we had discussed a detailed plan for prioritization, but certainly that's been a topic among the council members, prioritization of our work, and within this particular set of work, it isn't just the prioritization of who is studied, but the prioritization of the studies themselves. Especially given the considerable amount of cost and the amount of resources that will be required potentially by staff and later by council to try to digest those. So I think, some clear understanding of what each of these studies' feasibility and costs are would certainly be needed in order to actually establish a priority among those studies, assuming that more than one would probably want to be pursued.
Thank you, Tim. Christina, do you have any? Does that satisfy your question?
Yeah, for now. I mean, I think it's probably something that if there's any desire to do anything a little bit more formal than that, if this motion passes, then it would seem to me that it would be appropriate to at least sketch out how we're going to go about doing that prioritization.
Right, and in fact, that's kind of why this whole major agenda topic talks about next steps and the next to last item, continuing discussion on how to proceed. So that fits right into there. Caroline.
Thanks, Chuck. So from a registry's perspective, I guess we'd be disappointed if this motion were to succeed and we were not able to make some sort of start on all of this. We feel that it's quite clear that WHOIS does need some changes, and it's not really adequate in certain areas. And to repeat what Mike said and what Jamie also stated, I mean, it's clear that the community and indeed the GAC, the governments, are waiting for some sort of movement on this issue. So we do feel strongly that we should be making a move forward and starting to collect some of this objective data that we do need. And over and above that as well, I mean, that there's money that has been set aside in this current fiscal year in the budget for the WHOIS studies, and we think that, we should be making use of these funds. It's not entirely clear what the budget would be like for next year, so let's avail of what we have and get moving. Thanks.
Thank you, Caroline. Tim?
When this whole thing started, the idea of the studies, at least some of us, had the understanding that these would be, the feasibility and costs would be determined. We could look at that as a set and then determine, what, if any, of the studies to pursue. But what it looks like what we're intending to do now is just to do an ad hoc sort of thing as the analyses come through. And so my concern is that we're not going to look at it as a whole. And to some extent, it just seems that as though the intent is just to go down the line and just do every study. I don't think that, you know, our image in the community is the primary concern. The primary concern should be doing the right thing, managing the process appropriately, using ICANN funds and resources appropriately. And so I think having the whole picture is a more responsible way to proceed. And we're not talking about years. We're talking about a few months to, after spending so many years, to take a few more months to get all the information together so that we can make a fully informed decision about which of these studies to pursue. Now, I suppose if it's just a given that we're going to pursue them all, then I guess, you know, I'm not sure what this exercise was all about, and we can just go down that road. But otherwise, it seems the only responsible act would be to have all the information before making decisions. And I think, you know, that there's so many other things going on. There's who is, things that the staff has pursued. There's who is initiatives within, elsewhere within ICANN regarding, the international character data, the protocol itself. So all in all, we have not really, as a council, sat down and analyzed the current situation and where it's at and whether, once we spend months collecting any of this data, that it's actually going to serve the purpose of informing the policy process. And from some of the comments I've just heard, it sounds as though there's just an assumption that there will be policy activity after these studies are done. And, you know, and I don't think that's necessarily a given. And if it is, I'm not sure why we're bothering with the studies other than just to make it look good. So that's my reasoning. I would just encourage the council to consider waiting until we have the full picture before making a decision here.
Thank you, Tim. Stefan.
Thanks, Chuck. I don't see why we should buy into the we've already spent a long time on this, let's get on with it argument. I do feel, as Tim has just stated and the motion states, that we should have all the facts in front of us before we start to determine which studies we want to, even if we were going to go with the presumption that all studies are going to be undertaken, we would probably want to prioritize them. We probably wouldn't want to do them all at the same time. So even if we went with that, which I don't think is a good idea, I don't think that was the intent initially, we would still want to have all the information in front of us just to do that prioritization exercise. So I don't think we should be buying into the argument that there's an image problem with waiting just a couple of months more just to have all the information in front of us. I note that people are calling us, you know, if people are calling us to wait and do that, not to wait and to go ahead and do that because there's an image problem, people don't have any problem with risking ICANN's image delaying the new GTLD program, which is a crucial aspect of ICANN's image going forward. Because they feel there's issues there that need to be resolved. So I think we should be acting as good custodians of the funds that have been allocated to this and the amount of work that will have to be allocated to these studies if we undertake them, and just make sure we have all the facts in front of us. I really don't think 2 months will make any difference in terms of the actual studies themselves, in terms of getting the information that we need, which was one point that was made. And I think the budget has been allocated and it's there, and an extra 2 months will not impact that either. So we should just wait until we have all the information in front of us and then make an informed decision. Thanks.
Thank you, Stefan. Alan.
Question first before my comment, related to what Carolyn said. The money is in this budget. When does it have to actually be spent to not disappear? In other words, is signing the contract the day before the budget year end sufficient, or does the Monday, or the actual work have to be done before the end of the budget year?
Can someone from staff comment on that? My understanding, and I don't know if it's right or not, is that funds that aren't spent this year, you know, don't carry over. There will be a new budget that starts July 1st, 2011, and that's my understanding.
I agree with that. I'm looking for the definition of spent.
Could I get on the queue on that, Chuck, please?
Just 1 minute. Like, is there someone from staff who can comment on that? And while we're waiting, I'll let Tim jump in.
Well, this is Liz, the answer is we would have to pursue it. You're quite right, Chuck, that the budget, you know, is approved every year for the next. And if we don't, the definition of spent is spent. So if we don't spend this money, then we really spend this money. Or, you know, have it already basically incurred, you know, as per accounting, generally recognized accounting principles, the cost incurred, then we have to either carry the funding over, which we need to work on, or get additional funding to cover the extended cost.
Okay.
So that's something we don't have a definitive answer on right now.
Okay, but that it implies that a substantive amount of the work should have been done before the end of the budget year. Otherwise, we have to look for exception processes.
David, do you want to comment further? That's my thought.
David,
David, I will check into that to be sure, Alan and Chuck, and we'll get back to you on the details of that.
Okay,
thank you. And Tim, you wanted to jump back in?
Well, I like my
yeah,
comment,
yeah. I think the point is it's funny money, right? I mean, let's be honest. We didn't have this in the budget for this fiscal year. We, as a council, came together and requested some money be set aside. They took some money from somewhere else and earmarked it for who is study. So I have no doubt that whenever the council decides to move ahead with who is studies, the money will be found. I don't think that's the issue, and that should not be the primary driving factor as to this money coming or going. You know, spending the money, period, should be a concern and a question that we have, and we only can really answer that question once we have a full picture of what all the studies cost, which ones we want to pursue, and then prioritize those based on perhaps some assistance with staff as far as, you know, when it might be best appropriate within the budget, et cetera. But I don't think that whether we pursue it, whether we wait 2 months or not, that it's going to delay necessarily. I don't see why it would when the studies would proceed. Nothing has ever worked that way before, so I don't know why all of a sudden it would change.
One correction, Tim. There are funds in the budget this fiscal year. Maybe I just misunderstood you. And also, I'd like to ask people, if you can, please don't repeat things you've already said, because we are way over time already on this, and be as brief as possible. That would be appreciated. And now somebody's going to have to help me on the next name, because I can't enlarge my screen and I can't read the name.
Chuck, it's Alan.
It's
I still haven't had my turn.
Oh, Alan, you didn't?
No, I said I want to ask a question first.
Oh, no, my apologies, Alan. Go ahead.
Thank you.
I got cut off, Chuck, so I'd like to just complete that you are not correct. There was no money in the budget until we requested it. That was my point.
All I'm saying, Tim, is that in fiscal year 11 budget, there are at least $400,000 in the budget. We are in that fiscal year now.
Right, and that money is there because we as a council decided to ask for it. The budget was already what it was. They didn't increase the budget. They just took money from elsewhere and decided to earmark it for who is studies. That's what we were told. It was that simple.
All right, well, we don't need to belabor that. Go ahead, Alan.
Okay.
Chuck, can you put me back in the queue, please? Definitely.
Sure.
All right. I've heard a lot, and I consider some of it not quite accurate and perhaps not relevant. The comment that this will only delay things a couple of months, a couple is two, I believe. We're talking, Liz said November, then there would have to be a period where we receive comments back, then we're talking about a prioritization exercise, because certainly the $400,000 is not going to be enough to fund all of the studies, and probably will not be enough to will barely fund either one or four. So we're talking many months at this point and potentially jeopardizing the funds, which I understand we shouldn't spend frivolously, but the chances of us not spending this but getting $800,000 next year back for these studies, I think, is close to zero. So from that perspective, I think we're not looking at things accurately. The comment that there's other things going on IDN and in protocols is a complete red herring, I think. That work has to be done, and doing it in parallel is a good thing, not a bad thing. There's certainly no reason we need to wait for that. And if I remember correctly, maybe I'm misremembering, the four studies we're looking at were selected by council from a much longer list. We already did a prioritization and said these ones are interesting, these ones may be of merit, we're not even going to think about the other ones. So I really think we need to move on this. We're never going to get all the information we need, and it's clear we're not going to be able to fund more than one or two studies in this fiscal year. So I think we need to get on and do something.
Thanks, Alan. Can somebody help me out on who the next
sure,
name
Wendy
is after Alan?
Wendy.
Wendy, please go ahead.
Thanks. I just want to say quickly, I have my distaste for Study 1 has been largely muted by the amendments to it. So while I still believe that we're best off if we can see everything at once and allocate the budgetary resources among them when we know everything, I now believe that we have amended the call for Study 1 to make this a much more useful and accurate or likely to produce, at least with the possibility of producing statistically useful data. So I am less concerned about this study than I was last time we spoke. I still think I would, like Tim, I would like to hear the policy uses to which the studies will be put in the prioritization, but if anyone was relying on my concerns about Study 1, I'm much less concerned about that at this point.
Just one point there, Wendy. I don't think there's any way we can know what policy uses any of this data will be used for in the future. Those are decisions in terms of policy making in the future that would have to be made. But the data would be available, providing it is useful in the particular directions we decide to go. David.
Thanks, Chuck. Try not to go over what's already been said, but I think we definitely do need studies. That's without question. I appreciate the budgeting issues and the concern on delays about how this can go to the end of the year and overlap into next year, etc. We do need to choose the right studies that give us what we need. And certainly our view on IPC is that Study 3 is likely to be the most useful, and this is where our concern comes, is that if we go down the route of proceeding with Study 1 and then Study 2, we find that we've suddenly got no money whatsoever for Study 3 or even Study 4 on that basis. And in fact, what we're doing is then we're proceeding on a pure number basis of number 1, number 2, number 3, and number 4, and there's absolutely no prioritization at all. So that's where I would align certainly with what Tim's saying. That was my comment. My question, which was just more for Liz, is that when we spoke on the last call, we'd said that the deadline for the RFP for Study 3 was the 20th of July, and I think we said that staff thought they needed 3 weeks to review the proposals and come up with a consolidated view, and thus we had a possibility of being able to consider this for the 26th of August meeting. Is that a possibility? Does that still work? Because that's where I'd say, you know, could we decide then? On the 26th of August, so we don't delay too much, but at least we've got Study 3 in, and then we'd certainly be happy on our side.
So this is Liz, and I'll quickly respond that I am making an effort to get that done in time for you to consider it for the next council meeting, but my challenge is also trying to get the RFP at least to you for review on the Reveal Study 2, so I'm working on both as quickly as possible. I'm thinking if I can get the Reveal Study language to you first, that could get everyone started reviewing that language for a couple weeks while I finish up the analysis on the abuse study.
Thank you, Liz. Tim, please be brief.
Let's just get to the vote.
Okay, thank you, Tim. Glenn, would you please...
Sorry,
Stefan. You're on a different list on my desk here. Go ahead, Stefan.
Thank you. I'll try and be brief, but we've just heard some points that do indicate that, that there will be prioritization issues here, and some people want study three, some people want study one. The end of the fiscal year is July the 31st of next year. That's nearly 12 months' time. I think it is sufficient time for us to move forward and try and have all the studies and all the information in front of us before we come to a decision. And I don't buy into the argument that just because $400,000, which sounds to me like a lot of money, has been allocated to this, we should go ahead and spend it now. I mean, that's, it almost sounds like the UN, you know, the budget's there and then we'll find some way, something to do with it. I don't think it should work that way. I think we should know what we're asking and we should have all the facts before we start spending the community's money.
Thank you, Stefan. I put my hand up in the queue for a quick comment from the registries in that we do agree that we need to look at all the studies, but the estimated cost for study one is $150,000, and it's going to take a year, so we won't even use all $150,000 if we proceed with study one. At this point in time, we may use most of it. That still leaves plenty of money for study three and probably one more study, especially considering those studies will start late. So I just wanted to point that out. Now we will go to the vote. Glenn, I'd like you to take a roll call vote, please.
I will do that, Chuck, and it's by random names. Debbie Hughes. Are you in favor of the motion?
Yes.
Olga Cavelli?
No.
Mike Rodenbach?
Yes.
Edmund Chun is absent. Jamie Wagner?
No.
Stefan van Gelder?
In favor.
William Drake?
Glenn, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. I'm opposed to this motion. Mike Rodenbaum.
Chuck, is that...
Yeah, correct Mike's vote, please.
I will correct it. Thank you. William Drake?
No.
Christina Rosette?
Yes.
Tim Ruiz?
Yes.
Dave Jamil is absent. Terry Davis is absent. Mary Wong?
Sorry, Tim, no.
David Taylor?
Yes.
Rafik Damak? Rafik?
No.
Rafik, are you on mute?
I think I heard Rafik. Rafik, could you repeat your vote?
No.
No?
That is correct, Glenn.
Thank you. Wolf Ulrich Knobin is absent. Caroline Greer?
No.
Rosemary Sinclair is absent. Chuck?
No.
Wendy Seltzer?
Yes.
And Adrian Kinderis is absent. In the contracted parties house, there are two yes votes and two no votes. In the non-contracted parties house, There are four yes votes. And six no votes.
So the motion did not carry.
Did not carry, no.
Okay. We now go to item 3.3 in the agenda, the motion to proceed with study number one. That motion was made by Mike and seconded by Terry. Please note on that motion that some amendments to it were proposed and accepted as friendly. There is one section of that motion where some last-minute wording corrections were made after Mike and Terry approved it. If you look, I'll point those out once we have. Let me do it in advance, and you can see it when we have Mike read the resolution part of the motion. When he gets to the third resolve, the further resolve there, the text in all caps was wording improvements. Christina had pointed out that it wasn't very clearly worded. The substance didn't change. But we'll let, after Mike reads that, we'll let Mike express if he has any concerns. Terry's not on the call, so we can't get his response. So we'll deal with that after Mike reads the resolution.
Okay. Thanks, Chuck. I won't read the whereas clauses. They basically summarize where we've been to date with the who is process and summarize the study that's been proposed with respect to misuse of who is data, and mentions that the budget for FY 2011 includes at least $400,000 for who is studies. So the motion reads in the resolution, resolved, Council requests ICANN staff to proceed with the Who Is Misuse Study as described in Staff 23 March 2010 report using the vendor selection process described in Annex to that same report, linked here. Further resolved that ICANN staff is requested to ensure the study reaches out to a global set of consumer and data protection, regulatory, and law enforcement organizations, including the range of government organizations who would have reason to compile and keep records of Who Is Misuse. Further resolved that ICANN staff be required to protect the confidentiality and privacy of registering who is data collected for this study according to best practices, including encryption, and registrants and all groups contacted be informed of this protection. Further resolved that ICANN staff be required to include in the study analysis all individual elements in the who is data which descriptive studies surveyed sources identify as having been misused. Data elements identified by these surveyed sources will not be discarded or otherwise eliminated on the grounds that the actual data source is unclear or that online search verification discloses multiple possible sources of the data. Further resolved that ICANN staff will extend the time of the experimental study from 90 days to a minimum of 6 months to better track the results of the data harvesting.
Thank you, Mike. Now, in those amendments that were made in the third resolve paragraph there, do you consider those friendly?
Yes, of course.
Now, we get into a technicality now that get counsel advice on. Terry's not on the call to respond to that. I can say definitively that Terry was supportive as far as the overall intent of that paragraph. He considered that friendly. I think it's fair to say that the changes were made to add clarity to the paragraph. But if there's any counselor who objects to us proceeding with this because we can't get Terry's affirmative response, I will honor that. Is there anyone who – and I see a hand up. Tim, go ahead.
I guess I wasn't going to necessarily object to that, other, I guess I had a question about the modifications requested by the registries.
Let's deal with the question at hand. Is there anyone that objects to proceeding with this motion without getting a formal affirmation from Terry, who seconded the motion, that he considers this friendly? Not hearing anyone. Yes?
I don't really want to object and delay things, but I do feel we have a procedural problem. Can I just ask when the amendment was made and why Terry was unable to confirm it? Was it just
the amendment was made?
Recent?
The proposed amendments were made yesterday and sent to the list yesterday. And
okay.
Terry, unfortunately, is at a location where he does not have internet access, and Terry informed us of that in advance. Now, just a side comment: the motion we passed earlier today. On as far as absences and voting and so forth, will actually in the future allow for more flexibility when people have unavoidable circumstances like Terry does. So we'll be able to accommodate situations like this much better going forward. But because that process requires some advance notice, it wasn't applicable today, even though we've already passed the motion. I hope that makes sense. Stefan, let me make sure I'm understanding then. You're identifying a process issue, and I think you're right, it is a process issue. So are you suggesting then that we defer this motion until the next meeting?
No, I don't think the amendment is significant enough for this to be needed, and I think it would delay the process unfairly. But I do think in the future, we, as you've just stated, we should try and avoid this type of problem, especially after just voting on a motion where absentee voting was not allowed.
Yeah, and Stefan,
on that regard, can I comment on that?
Yeah, just 1 second. I want to finish responding to Stefan there. Stefan, I actually did some investigating to see whether we could use the procedures just applied, and we came to the conclusion that because it requires some advanced steps, that it wouldn't work to apply the just approved procedures in this case. So I appreciate your concern. I had it as well. So, okay, Tim.
Yeah, just given that, Chuck, and maybe I shouldn't even ask this, but I mean, I think it's only fair that, you know, given the discussion that has taken place about this so far, do the proponents of this motion really want to move forward with a vote today? Just given, you know, the attendance, Terry's absence, blah, blah, blah. I think you might want to consider that. But
Mike, would you like to respond to that?
Yes, I would. I think we should go ahead and push forward today. If somehow the motion is defeated based on, in our view, the proponent's view, that attendance was lacking, then we can reintroduce the motion again next meeting, and we'll try again. But I think we should go ahead today and do it, and I think we can button up this procedural issue, although I'm not really hearing any objection. Getting another second. If any other counselors second the motion, then that would solve that issue.
Thank you, Mike. Any other discussion? Not seeing any new hands up, I will ask Glenn to do a roll call vote.
Certainly, Chuck, I'll do a roll call vote. Caroline Greer.
Yes.
Mary Wong.
In favor.
Tim Ruiz.
Against.
Christina Rosett.
Against.
Olga Cavelli.
In favor.
Jamie Wagner?
In favor.
Mike Rodenbach?
In favor.
Deborah Hughes?
In favor.
Stefan Van Gelder?
Against.
Chuck Gomes?
In favor.
Rafik Demak? Rafik?
In favor.
Wendy Seltzer?
In favor.
William Drake?
In favor.
Zahid Jamil is absent. Terry Davis is absent. David Taylor?
Abstain.
Wolf Ulrich Knobin is absent. Rosemary Sinclair is absent. Adrian Kinderis is absent. In the contracted party house, there are two no votes and two yes votes. And in the non-contracted party house, there are eight yes votes. So it passes with a simple majority there. And in the contracted party house, we have two no votes, two yes votes. And we have Edmund Chun, Terry Davis, and Adrian Kinderis, who are absent, to make up the seven.
So the motion does not pass. I suspect we will see it next time on our meeting on the 26th. Thanks for all the discussion on this, and because of the timing of how much time we've taken on this, we don't have a lot of we don't really have time to talk about how we're going to proceed, but we will try to fit that in into our meeting on the 26th. An additional motions are certainly a possibility in the coming weeks. I see a couple hands. Are your hands still up, Tim and Mike?
Chuck, sorry, this is Glenn. There was one no vote in the non-contracted party house, and we should still get the reason for abstention from David Taylor. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Thank you, Glenn. I appreciate that. David, could you please give us a reason for your abstention?
Sure, yeah. Just on the basis, I disagree with moving forward without a guarantee that there's sufficient funds available for all the studies which we need.
And with regard to that, Liz, what's the anticipation with regard to study three as we stand right now?
I'm sorry, I don't understand the question. How much money it'll be?
No, the timing. Obviously, there are concerns that if we, by a couple people at least, that if we proceed with study one and use up some of the $400,000+, that there's concern that there may not be enough to do study three. When can we anticipate the estimates on study three?
So I'm going to try to get it done before the next council meeting. I don't know if I can get it done 8 days before the council meeting.
Now, I believe I heard you say that you had prioritized doing some final work on study four before doing the study three. Just my own personal observation, it might be better to prioritize it the other way. In other words,
if that's the desire of the council, sure.
Well, considering that the motion to delay until all studies are all the estimates are done, failed. It seems like, and considering the concerns about Study 3, it seems to me that it would be helpful if you worked on Study 3 before Study 4, to the extent that those two conflict. Anybody want to comment on that? I see a hand up. I think it's Wendy.
Yes, thank you. It's Wendy. I have a procedural question, whether it's appropriate for counsel to be directing staff this way, and then my substantive question would be, I would not favor prioritizing further investigation of Study 3 over Study 4.
And why is that, Wendy?
I don't think it's helpful to have, we have even less information about Study 4, and so I wouldn't find it more helpful to have more detail about Study 3 and almost nothing about Study 4. I would rather have some level of information about all of them.
Okay, thank you. I don't understand the procedural point. Council gives staff direction all the time in terms of their work. They depend on our direction. Could you help me understand the procedural point?
I'm not sure.
Tim, could I get on with you on that?
I simply don't know whether it is our role to direct the staff in this way other than through formal motions requesting work be done. I'm not going to push it, though.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Tim?
I guess that was what I was going to suggest, is that we at least get a sense of the council at a minimum. I mean, clearly there's a lot of different views about this, so I just would want to make sure that we had at least a sense of the council before we would direct staff that way.
Okay, that's certainly a fair request. All I was trying to do was be responsive to two people who had who really wanted to see the information, the estimates on Study 3 before considering Study 1. And so let me just ask, is anybody – one person has already said they were opposed to directing staff in that way. Let's just – now can we – is it possible to do a Adobe Connect poll on this real quickly?
I think we'd have to set one up.
Okay, so it's not set up. So let me just ask I guess we've got to do a roll call to let me try it this way to save a little bit of time. If it doesn't work, we'll have to back up. How many people are opposed to asking staff to finish up the work on Study 3 before continuing the work on Study 4? Keep in mind, all we're going to get on Study 4 is a draft RFP anyway, but that still may be important to some of you. How many people would be opposed to giving the direction as I suggested? Would you please identify yourself by raising your hand in the queue? And Stefan, you can tell me what you do. If you're opposed to that direction, would you raise your hand in Adobe Connect, please? And Stefan, you can give me a verbal. Stefan?
Well, my verbal response would be to actually take exception with the question, because I don't know what my group would want as an answer at this stage. So I find it hard, unless you're specifically asking for my own personal opinion, of course.
I think that's all I can ask for right now.
Okay, in that case, I would not be opposed.
Okay, and so I see one hand up as opposed. I see Tim's hand. And Wendy, you were opposed, is that correct? Did Wendy drop off?
She has disconnected, yes, Chuck. And in the meantime, Edmund Chan has come in.
Who has?
Edmund has just joined the call.
Okay. All right. I'm only seeing then two oppositions to asking staff to try to gather the information together for us before the next meeting on Study 3.
Mike, since Edmund's joined the call, is it too late to record his vote with respect to who his motion?
I think it is.
Wendy has rejoined the call, Chuck.
Yes, thank you for rejoining, Wendy. You and Tim were the only ones who opposed the asking staff to move ahead with Study 3 before Study 4 RFP finalization. So there appears to be enough support for giving that direction. All right. And Mike, with regard to your point, I don't think it would matter because we would need four votes in the contracted party's house for the motion to pass.
Well, why would you need four instead of three?
To have a simple majority. There are seven in the house.
A simple majority. Oh.
Yeah, so we need four out of seven.
All right.
Okay, sorry. But that's what we have to work with now. So, again, you're perfectly welcome to resubmit the motion as soon as you would like for the next meeting. At least the amending process is probably done. Let's move on then to item four in the agenda. Glenn sent out, and this is a decision on whether to hold the meeting date on as regularly scheduled on September 16th or on September 8th. And there are two different times given on September 8th. Two different doodle polls went out. Glenn sent out a nice little summary of how the votes the poll results turned out for the doodle polls. It's on the screen in Adobe Connect right now that most of you can see. Notice that there's only one of the three choices that definitely, and I put that in quotes because obviously things can change, would have a quorum, although there's the possibility, I think, of having a quorum on the 8th September at 11 UTC if Edmund was able to make it. And on the 16th, there is the possibility of a quorum if both Edmund and Zahid can make it. So there's the chance of quorum in the other two. The only time where there is it looks like clearly a quorum can be present is on Wednesday, September 8th at 1500 UTC. Any discussion on that? My recommendation as chair, since the greatest chances of quorum is on September 8th at 1500 UTC, is that we go with that date. For our council meeting, which would mean that meeting would occur about 2 weeks after the meeting on the 26th of August. Now, one advantage to that, as I pointed out on the list, is that gives us one more time to discuss the GNSO endorsements for the who is and the SSR AOC review teams if we need it. Are there any objections to going with that date and time? Wednesday, September 8th, 1500 UTC. That's a change from our regularly scheduled meeting. Any objections?
Chuck, was that the meeting you would be unable to chair?
No, I can share that. I'm available in that meeting. The 16th was a conflict with the IGF meeting. It wasn't a I could skip out from the IGF and chair that meeting, but I had preferred not to do that. But no, to your question, Stefan, no, I can chair the one on the 8th.
Chuck, please, this is Jamie. Which is the expectation of the duration of this call?
Well, I'd love to have a meeting that was less than 2 hours. We can't seem to fit it in 2 hours. I would expect it will be a two-hour meeting. Now, since it's 2 weeks after our other meeting, I don't know, does that mean that it could be shorter? I'm hesitant to say, Jamie.
Okay.
And Tim?
But
go ahead, Jamie. Do you have something else?
Your proposition is 8 September 11, you to see, or 1500, you get to see?
Yeah, my proposition was 8 September at 1500 UTC, one of the choices that the doodle poll covered. Keep in mind that the Thursday, the 9th, is a holiday for some people. It's the beginning of the Jewish New Year.
Chuck, this is Stefan.
Just a second, Stefan. Tim?
I just wanted to formally voice my objection to moving the meeting. It seems that the primary reason we're moving it is because of IGF activities. Yet, we are all aware of the responsibilities placed upon us when we were elected council to the council. So when council meetings come up, those should take priorities over certain other things. And at least in my mind, the IGF would be one of those. In fact, for many of us, I know myself at times, they even take priority over business at the company that I'm employed with. So at times I have to, exit a meeting or excuse myself in order to participate in a council call. There's things that prevent us all at times from joining that we can't do anything about. But whenever we're able to make a choice or to participate, I guess at least it's my feeling that that's the responsibility we took on as elected councillors. I just wanted to give my opinion on that. I realize it probably isn't going to change anything, but I wanted to kind of get that out there. Thanks.
Thank you, Tim. I can tell you that I had to do what you just said for this meeting today. So thank you very much. Stefan.
Thanks, Chuck. And I just wanted to add, I thought the problem was actually linked to certain widow periods, as you've just mentioned, and I would also not be in favor of taking into account all possible holiday periods to schedule our meetings. I for one, am on holiday at the moment and still able to participate. I think we're all asked to do that at times, so maybe I misunderstood and the holiday period wasn't the problem, the IGF was, in which case I'll defer to Tim's statements, but if it was a holiday problem, we probably should not have moved the meeting.
Thank you, Stefan. Regardless of whether we had IGF or something else, we had a significant number of counselors who would not be able to participate on the regularly scheduled time, and that was the reason for considering an exception. I don't think it matters what the reason is. We need to have a quorum. There was the chance we would not have a quorum on the 16th, and we verified that. So going on then, and I think it's Olga next.
Oh, just a brief comment answering what Tim was writing. Tim, I think you're right about that we have a commitment with the GNSO. I have it. I participate in all the conference calls. Today we have a regional meeting. I'm in Quito and I am not in the meeting. I'm attending the call in my room, and that's fine. The problem with the IGF for some of us is, in my case, I'm chairing several meetings. I'm organizing several workshops. So I cannot commit 2 hours. I am not sure if I will be able, and it will be 4 days of a lot of activity. So in this case, I cannot promise putting a GNSO Council call in a high priority, and I think it happens to some of us.
Thanks, Olga. Christina?
I understand that, as a practical matter, the meeting needs to be moved if we're going to have quorum. But given that the meeting has been moved from what it was originally scheduled, I feel very strongly that we should not be voting during that meeting on any issue for which absentee voting is not allowed, simply because, you know, speaking personally, I make sure that I build around my schedule around these meetings, which is part of the reason I've raised November and December for later discussion. And I think that's probably true for a lot of us. So to now kind of switch the meeting date and then put us in a position, those of us who may not be able to attend, of having to miss out on a vote that, if the meeting had gone ahead as scheduled, would not have come up, I just think is unreasonable. So I would just really request that we make sure that we're not voting on something, on any issue for which absentee voting is not permitted.
Christina, I would just qualify what you're saying with the point that we now have procedures that if you're put into that kind of situation, or anyone else is, that you can follow those procedures, and it's no longer restricted to just the 4 items that provide for absentee voting. So I think it would be unnecessary to disallow voting since we now have procedures that are much broader than the absentee voting procedures that we had up until this point in time.
I understand your point, Chuck, but given that those procedures just passed today, I would be very surprised if any stakeholder group, although, you know, the registry may have gotten it organized, are in a position to identify who the temporary voting alternatives would be. You know, that's less than a month from now. It's peak holiday season. I can't guarantee right now that the IPC is going to be in a position to have done that.
Okay.
So I understand your point, but I think if we were talking about a meeting 2 months from now, I would definitely agree. A meeting a month from now, after almost our entire constituency is out of the office for the next month, I have to disagree for the record.
Thank you. Not seeing any other hands, we'll go ahead and move the meeting to the 8th of September at 1500 UTC. And Glenn, you'll get out information in that, as you always do so effectively. We now go to item 5. Now we've got, let's see, what have we got? 35 minutes left of our scheduled time. Does anybody object if we move to item 6 instead of item 5? Item 5 is prioritization. We weren't going to complete anything on the prioritization discussion anyway. We were going to talk about next steps and so forth, and we do need to do that. But considering how much time we took on the who is item, are there any objections to skipping to item 6 for now? Not hearing any or seeing any hands.
Give us just a second to think about that, Chuck. I mean,
sure. Okay. Thanks for letting me know.
Okay, I have no objection. Sorry, but I appreciate the time.
No. Please always feel free to communicate that, because I can't see you. Okay, so. That's very helpful. Thank you. And sometimes when I'm trying to manage the meeting, I push ahead a little bit too fast to respect everybody's time, and you need to slow me down. Okay? Item 6, the GNSO endorsements for the AOC, SSR, and WHOIS policies review teams is mainly informational, so I don't think we need to spend a lot of time on that. I want to make sure everybody is clear on the dates. The 29th of July was the end of the application period. As I'll point out in a minute, there was one application received late, and I'll come back to that one in a minute because I need your input on that. 19th of August is the due date for stakeholder group input to the council, and that includes stakeholder group primary endorsement for each of the review teams and any additional candidates that you would support for diversity reasons. The 26th of August, then, is our next council meeting. So it's at that meeting where the council would first consider the question of whether there is a whether we want to add any candidates to the SG endorsements to be a part of the GNSO slate to improve the geographic or gender diversity. And then on the 8th or 16th of September, then on the 8th of September, we will have our council meeting. And so if we need that council meeting, as I stated earlier, to finalize the slate of candidates from the GNSO to send to the selectors, we can do that then. And then on the 12th of September, I think it's actually the 13th, we would need to send our slate of candidates to the selectors. Any questions on that? Glenn has a brief summary of the candidates. Before I go to Glenn, though, let me point out that Lee how's he pronounce his last name? Yuljin? Is that right? Anybody from the IPC help me out there?
It's actually Elgin. I think he says Elgin.
Elgin, okay. Lee Elgin submitted his application 2 days late. It was received on the 31st. For the Who Is review team, and after several reminders, he still has not submitted the GNSO requested information. I have received an okay from the two selectors, from both Rod and from Heather, that they are okay with the late submission if the GNSO is okay with it. The primary decision probably goes to the commercial stakeholder group, in the sense that he's associated with the commercial stakeholder group. And the first thing I'd like to ask is if the counselors from the commercial stakeholder group, I guess in particularly the intellectual property constituency, if you could please ask him to provide the GNSO additional information that's needed, that would be much appreciated. Those of us, myself and Alice, who have been trying to get the additional information, have been unsuccessful. Now, the question I need to ask the council is, are there any objections to allowing Lee's application after the end of the application period? Not hearing any or seeing any hands up. Certainly, if you want to comment on this, you're welcome to raise a hand as well or speak up. Not hearing any, then I will assume that as long as we get the GNSO additional information so that the groups have that information, it would be okay to go ahead and include Lee Elgin's application. So anything any of you can do to make sure we get the additional information would be much appreciated. Anything else on this item? Going to item 7, vertical integration is just a status update. Stefan, I'll turn that over to you.
Thanks, Chuck. I'll be very brief. I want to thank Margie Milam, who's on holiday for this meeting, for preparing the report I'm just about to give. The initial report for the VI Working Group was published on July the 23rd for a 20-day public comment period that closes on August the 12th. That initial report describes the current state of deliberations for the Working Group, including certain principles that the group has under development, a list of proposals submitted by some of the group members, those proposals having achieved a minimal level of support.
The initial report also includes a chart describing the results of a poll that was conducted by the co-chairs for each of the proposals under consideration at this point. No proposal or principle has yet achieved consensus support. I think that's it's important to point that out. They are to be further analyzed and debated as the group moves forward and strives to develop a consensus position in order to be able to provide a recommendation to the council. And the group is continuing to meet during the public comment period that's currently underway and has a goal of publishing a revised initial report by August the 18th so that the council can be in a position to consider that report at its next meeting on August the 26th. And have sufficient time to take action on any of the recommendations that the working group will provide prior to the board's retreat in September. That's it, Chuck. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Stefan. Any questions or comments on that? All right.
Chuck, can I make a comment? It's Caroline. Just
yes, Caroline, go ahead.
I just, in relation to the poll that Stefan mentioned, which is towards the end of the report, I just wanted to perhaps caution people when they're looking at that. I mean, some of the feedback that the registries had got from different members of the working group is that they were a bit uncomfortable with the poll and the way it was presented and the way the different atoms or molecules, whatever it is they're called, the way they were divided up and people were asked to vote in different aspects. I know some people feel that the poll is maybe slightly misleading and, you know, there was a reluctance to place too much emphasis on the poll. I know that your eye is definitely drawn towards that when you're reading the reports, but I do think there has been some concerns raised about just perhaps how much emphasis and importance should be laid on that poll. Thanks.
Thank you, Caroline. Tim?
I just wanted to back up what Carolyn was saying. As a member of the Vertical Integration Working Group, I think there was a lot of confusion about what the poll was and how it was going to be used, and so how it was ultimately constructed, I think, in various individuals' minds, you know, might have been different if it was clearly understood how the poll results would be used, as well as the participation. I mean, there was, I think, maybe a little more than half of the actual working group really responded to the poll, and I think that might have been quite different as well if it was understood how it might be used at another time. So just wanted to back up what Carolyn was saying.
Thank you, Tim, and thank you, Caroline. And hopefully comments to the effect of what you just said in both cases will be submitted in the comment period and may be helpful to a lot of people, as well as to the working group itself. Okay, not seeing any other hands. Let's go on to item 8, the Registration Abuse Policies Working Group final report. And you notice there's only 5 minutes for this, and we shouldn't need any more than that. There are a list in 8.2. There are a list of volunteers for a group that would take the report with, in particular, the recommendations, and draft a working plan that the council could consider after they do their work. It's not anticipated that this will be a long effort because the working group did a very good job of mapping out the recommendations and showing the levels of support. And so what I would like to ask, and Marika will be providing the staff policy support for this effort. Glenn already has an email list up and running, and all of the people that are named there should be on that list. If you're on that list and not on the list in the agenda and not on the email list, please notify Glenn. And Glenn, what I would like to ask you to do, if you would initiate a discussion on that list with regard to possible meeting times, maybe as a starting point is to use the regular meeting time of the now disbanded RAP working group as a starting point and see if the people on that list could attend a meeting, and I would make that date whenever Marika is back from her holiday. Any objections to proceeding that way? Tim, is your hand still up or just left up by omission there?
Sorry, I'll put it down.
Thanks. Appreciate it. I just wanted to check. I'm not hearing any objections. Then, Glenn, you'll take care of that, correct?
I'll take care of that, Chuck, yes.
Okay, moving on to Cartagena planning, and this is mostly informational as well. You'll recall that in our wrap-up meeting in Brussels that we had a lot of really excellent suggestions for improving the GNSO work in future in-person meetings, and so this is a follow-up to that, and to ask those who volunteered for different tasks to get moving on those. So, first of all, Stefan and Glenn, like they did previous couple meetings, will have again volunteered to take the lead in terms of preparing the overall schedule, and please understand that they depend on all of us to do that, so please be responsive when they request things from you and the different groups that you're in. Glenn is already following up with the ICANN meeting teams on the four bulleted items that you'll see there. I won't repeat those unless somebody wants me to. Wendy volunteered to lead a group of volunteers to develop suggested improvements to running the GNSO public council meetings that we have on Wednesdays. And several of you there volunteered, and I appreciate that very much. So, Wendy, I would like to encourage you to get that moving, if you haven't already. And certainly, is my memory correct that the people in these little groups decided to just do it via email without creating a list? Is that correct, Glenn?
That is correct, Chuck.
Okay. Certainly, if you need Glenn's help there, you know how responsive she is, so let her know. And then a group will be formed to work on the GNSO Council interaction with the board, and there were several volunteers there. Stefan said he's willing to kind of take the lead on that group if there are no objections to him doing that. I'm sure he's comfortable if somebody else wants to volunteer to do that, so speak up if you are. In the meantime, I'll ask, are there any objections to Stefan taking the lead in that effort? Not seeing any hands, not hearing anyone. Stefan, you got it. Okay? Thanks for doing that. And again, both of these are kind of short-term efforts. The target date for completion of the work for schedule planning is 15 September, and that's a date that was set based on the ICANN meeting team staff in terms of preparing the agendas for Cartagena. Any questions, comments on that?
Chuck, Stefan.
Go ahead, Stefan.
Thank you. Just two comments on the preparing the schedule for Cartagena, just to let the council know that Glenn and I had a face-to-face meeting in Paris a couple of weeks back to continue our work on this schedule. And as Chuck, you mentioned, Glenn is sending out various requests to either you or your groups for some questions that we have on certain slots. So please, if you can respond as quickly as possible, that is a great help. Thank you very much for doing that. On the council interaction with the board group, as I don't have easy email access at the moment, could I just ask Glenn, unless there's objection to that, to create an email list for that group? I think it might be useful, and for the group members to forward as soon as they can any ideas on that topic itself, so that we can bring those to the council and then possibly to the board as quickly as possible, the deadline being quite short. Thank you.
Thank you, Stefan. Anything else on that agenda item? Okay, going to agenda item 10. It's just an update, and I don't have much there. We've got volunteers for a drafting team for to draft a DNS cert SSR working group charter, I am still waiting for information from Chris Despain, chair of the CCNSO, and I know that Chris was on holiday, so I hope to hear from him soon in terms of next steps on that. Any questions or comments? Okay. Going on to item 11 is the audio casting. Liz, did we ever succeed today?
We did not, and we've asked for a explanation and to share with all of you. So please, again, accept my apologies, and we will provide some information on what happened and how we can avoid it in the future shortly.
And I assume that explanation and apology will go out to the all the lists that we distributed the audio casting option to. Is that correct?
I'll make sure that it does. Thanks.
Thank you. Sorry that you have to deal with that.
I'm really
now,
sorry it happened. There was a huge amount of follow-up, I will tell you, by Glenn to make sure that it would not happen. So I just want to make that really clear that, as always, our secretariat was watching our back and did everything she could. So this was really a surprise that we did not expect at all. So apologize for that.
Yeah. Thanks. Now, regarding the, and I know there weren't very many, I think there were five participants in the audio casting of our last meeting. Is there any additional feedback from that?
Well, I'll only say that just because of this snafu, I'm aware of probably at least 8 or 10 people that tried to get in that weren't able to, just that came to my attention in the process. So I think it might be fair to say, if nothing else, that interest would be growing in utilizing this, and that at least based on that indication, and I don't have any more updates beyond that.
Thanks, Liz. Going on
just,
then, yes, did I hear someone?
Yes, Wendy, to add a note that while I'm on a spotty cell phone connection, the audio cast would have been a useful backup. So another vote in its favor from even council participants.
That's a good point, Wendy. That's another added value of it. Thanks. All right. Going to item 12, other business. We have the Standing Committee to Monitor GNSO Improvement Implementation. Keep in mind that that's something we approved the implementation of the CCT recommendations, and one of those recommendations was to form this standing committee to monitor those improvements. Let me open it up to see if there are any suggestions regarding how to do this.
Could I get in the queue, Chuck?
Sure. Go ahead. You can jump right in.
Do we envision this as being council members, or would we consider others? For example, the chairs of some of the various steering committees, perhaps.
Well, I think that's a very good suggestion. If historically what we've been doing almost exclusively, I think, in the last year or two, is really not restricting things to council members, and I think that's consistent with some of the GNSO improvements recommendations in terms of policy development and so forth. So, unless someone objects, it would be my suggestion that it's open to those who are willing to spend the time and do it. And your suggestion, in my opinion, of having some of the chairs of the working groups do it, and it doesn't have to be chairs, but certainly that would be a very good, they would probably be very helpful in that regard. Any objections to creating this standing committee in a way that is open to the GNSO community? As always, it'll be kind of nice to have a council liaison, but I don't think that'll be hard to do. Not seeing any other hands, what I would like to suggest, Glenn, is that you send out an invitation for this standing committee, and it will be one that'll go on for a while. I don't necessarily think it's going to be extremely time-consuming, but because the GNSO improvements will be implemented over time, and we probably don't want to, and probably want this committee to weigh in after some of them have been in place for a while, I suspect that it will, and we probably should say that it will probably go on for a while, if you could send out an invitation, Glenn, inviting volunteers, they do not have to be council members, and then we can send that out as broadly as possible, like you usually do.
I'll do that, Chuck.
Thanks. Anything else on that agenda item? Okay. Let's go to the council meetings for November and December, and I'll ask, there was actually a reason why those weren't included in the schedule for the year, and we probably should have caught it sooner and filled those dates in, so I apologize for that. Glenn, why don't you at least provide the explanation as to why we didn't originally do that when we did the schedule for the year?
Yes, Chuck. Thank you. I'll be very brief. First of all, because when we planned the meetings, it was for 1 year until the end of October. Secondly, at that stage, we did not know when the AGM would be. We didn't know whether it would be in November or December. And thirdly, we just haven't got down to putting in those dates because we have got the end of the year holidays coming up too, so we would have to see whether we would go into the next year and start planning meetings into that time as well. Another reason was that we were not sure whether we would have 3-weekly or 4-weekly meetings.
Thank you, Glenn. Now, all that said, Christine is absolutely right. We should have set those dates long before now. But thank you, Christina, for raising the point. Now, Glenn, I believe you're going to send out a doodle request for the next 3 or 4 meetings to the council shortly. Is that correct?
Yes, I'll do that, Chuck.
Now, does anybody have any input with regard to that? Now, we're aware of the U.S. Thanksgiving holiday that falls into November. Of course, we're all aware of the Christmas holidays and other holidays in December. So please be watching for a doodle request for the next few meetings and respond to that as quickly as possible. That really helps in terms of the planning for doing that. Any other comments or questions on this? And again, thanks to Christina for raising the issue. Hearing none or seeing none, let's go back to item 5 in our last just few minutes, maybe at least start the discussion on prioritization. There was no intent that we would be able to complete that today, but there were some very helpful comments regarding the prioritization effort that we went through, I won't read those, but you can see under 5.2 that just to make it easy for people to look at some of the key comments that were made in our 15 July council meeting. And so what we need to do now is talk about the next steps. Now, Liz has communicated that a staff utilization analysis should be available by the by our 26 August meeting. Do you want to add anything to that, Liz?
No, not at this time.
Okay. And Christina Nordstrom, Christina, let me. I should have welcomed you to our call at the beginning. I'm sorry for not doing that, but thanks for filling in and helping us with the Adobe Connect today. I appreciate that very much. And she has a poll that is set up in Adobe Connect, and there are five options that are there for us to respond to, and she may need we may need her to give us some instructions for doing that. Not sure. Notice option one is spend no more time on prioritization, which some people suggested. Option two is develop a plan for using the results to manage workload in the near term. Option three is to form a drafting team with the task of developing a new process. Option four is to form a drafting team with the task of improving the process. And option five is other, including combinations of two, three, and or four. So, Christina, can you give us the instructions on using and doing this poll?
Actually, I think you should just click on the circles to.
Well, I have one question then. Can they? Is it just possible to click on one? Is that correct?
Yes,
so if
I believe.
If not more than one, you click option five. Is that correct?
I think you're meant to just click one.
Okay, that's all I needed. So if everyone would. And once they click on, do they just click on it and then just, do they do anything else?
No, then the results will show in the right end of the poll.
Now, I see on the poll itself, though, that option five is a no vote instead of a other vote. That's very different than what I just described. So, for
if you
example,
want, I can pick that.
Excuse me?
I'm sorry, if you want, I can change it.
Yeah, let's make number five the other option, if that can be done very quickly. In other words, if you want a combination of one, two, three, or four, whatever combination that is, select option five, okay? That way, just use myself as an example. Two and four might be a reasonable way to go, in my opinion. I know others disagree with that, and that's okay. So I would select option five in that regard. Now,
okay, Chuck, I'm so sorry, but it looks like I cannot change it after all. I can only add options, but I cannot change the last one. I'm sorry.
Okay. Now, is everybody clear enough if we just verbally say that option five is a combination of some of the above?
It keeps disappearing. Is that
what was that, Tim? Oh, there we go. We've got another vote, and we got another. There we go. It's fixed. The other vote will be if you want, you know, something different than described there, or some combination. Okay. Any questions on that?
Others yes, who have voted should know that they need to re-vote, right?
Oh, yeah. Somebody voted, I think. Well, it looks like it's counted the votes already. So three people apparently have voted.
A lot more who had voted on some of the earlier ones, and then
you
got reset to zero. So
can you reset to zero, Christina?
Do you want me to reset the poll?
Yes, please.
Don't vote
yet. Let's reset it and make sure we don't miss anybody.
I have a question. Please check. I have a question, Jamie.
Go ahead, Jamie.
I
I wonder if there is not the possibility of having two options, a multiple choice, not a single choice.
Well, that's what the other is. If you want to do that, the idea was to do other. We may need to do another poll in our next meeting if there are lots of others. For right now, let's use the other for that. And I know that's a broad category, but let's use it for that. This isn't going to be the final say on this. This will just give us some preliminary indication of where counselors are.
Yeah, because I think it would be different to have a multiple choice.
I agree.
It's not technically possible, yes?
Well, we don't have time. Our meeting's just about over, so we don't have time to change it now. But we can do another. Let's get the results on this so we have a first picture. We can do another more detailed poll next time if we so desire. So it looks like it's – is it ready to go, Christina?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Again, if you want something different than there, please use other, and then we can drill down on that between now and our next meeting and possibly do another poll. Okay, please vote.
Sorry, Chuck.
Yes.
It's okay. I cannot vote. I'm not in Adobe Connect. So.
And Stefan's in the same boat. Do you mind giving your vote orally?
Okay, but I'm not sure what are the options.
Okay, I'll read through the options while people are voting. It's the spend no more time on prioritization is the first one. The second one is develop a plan for using the results to manage the workload in the near term. Sorry, I can't enlarge my screen, so it's very hard to read. Number three is to form a drafting team with the task of developing a totally new process. The fourth one is to form a drafting team with the task of improving the process. The next one is other, and then if you want, you don't have to vote at all. So, Stefan and Rafiq, if you can tell us if you're okay, if you'd rather do it by email, that's okay too.
Chuck, I'm happy to do so now.
Okay, go ahead, Stefan.
I will vote for other, and my other would be that we find some way of including the chair in the decision-making process. I would be dead set against creating another working group or drafting team to do the same work that was painstakingly done by the group, and I think that they all deserve some praise for spending so much time on this. I don't think the result that came out was to everyone's satisfaction. I wouldn't like to start another process. Perhaps my suggestion would be, and it's just an idea, and, you know, please don't shoot me for putting this forward, would be that part of the prioritization decision-making process could be handled by the chair with input from the council. Maybe that would simplify things. Maybe people aren't at ease with that, but it's at least an idea.
Thank you. Thank you, Stefan. I appreciate that. So, Christina, Glenn, whoever, we're going to add one to the other category there to what we see on the poll. And then Rafiq.
So what is exactly the first option?
The first option was to spend no more time on prioritization at all.
First option.
Excuse me, the first one?
First option, yeah.
Okay, so we'll add that to that. Anybody else that was unable to vote? So we have 13 people that participated, it looks like. Have people dropped off the call, Glenn?
Just a second. Okay.
And I'm suggesting that Christina actually input sorry, go ahead, Glenn.
No, just Hentran Lee and Caroline Greer.
Okay, all right. Yeah, Caroline had warned Edmund and I that she would have to leave about 15 minutes early. So well, this gives us a little bit of information. We have six. Do the votes on the screen, Christina, include Rafiq's and Stefan's?
Christina, you can go ahead and submit the
able to click for one person.
Oh, okay. So let me do Rafiq's was...
Was number one?
Was number one.
Yeah, I voted for V. Seltzer.
Oh, okay. And then what, nobody voted for Stefan then?
No, not me.
Okay, so it looks like what we have is seven on the first choice, two on the second choice, one on the fourth choice. No, and then I guess eight on other if we add Stefan.
Do we know if Carolyn's vote still is there or did it disappear?
Caroline probably had to drop off before we got to this point because she told us it was going to be about 15 minutes before end.
No, she is off and she's not on Adobe. The question is, did her vote stick or does it disappear?
It looks like it dropped.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So, anyway, let's send these results around to the council list so that we have that, and we'll continue this discussion and possibly develop a little more detailed poll in preparation for next time. One of the things we could do is explore the other category in terms of what kind of options people wanted. So, thank you very much. I think we're just about out of time, but I heard somebody want to say something. Oh, I see two hands up. I'm sorry. I think the first one is Christina.
This falls into any other business. I don't know whether there are any staff on the call who can answer this question, if they have the information, but the agenda for today's board meeting includes a very cryptic reference to UDRP update, and I know that there had been a board agenda item several weeks ago about, I guess, exploring the issue of accrediting providers, and I was just wanting to know if staff had any information as to what exactly UDRP update encompasses.
Anybody respond to that? Doesn't sound like it. I know I was wondering about that question myself and talked to somebody else about it. Don't know. Good question. Apparently nobody on the call has a response. And then I saw, I think it was Jamie that had his hand up.
Yes. Yes, I would ask for the next poll to have the option technically of multiple choices.
Yes, and I think that's what we'll try to do. I'll probably try to send a little list out what the other choices were by people, and then it's easy to, in case just having multiple choice wouldn't do it. But we'll work on that, Jamie. Good suggestion.
Okay.
Anybody else? Okay, well, we got back to item 5, which means we came to the end of our agenda. Anything else before I adjourn? Okay, the meeting is adjourned. Thanks to everyone, and we almost did it on time. Have a good rest of the week.
Thank you, Chuck.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chuck.